Andrea, roll call.
President DeLauro?
Hello.
Present.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the roll call. I was hitting. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that portion. I was trying to record. So, Director Shore?
Here.
Director Zindel?
Here.
Director Perez Gill?
Here.
My wife's.
Director Rogers?
Saturday night.
Can I come over and do mine too?
Yeah.
Please mute your phones. Director Rogers? Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Borja?
Here.
And President DeLauro?
Here. Okay, so we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. On three, one, two, three. I pledge allegiance,
to the United States of America.
And to the Republic.
Which stands. One nation. Under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, next we have the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Motion by Matthews.
Is there a second?
Second, Arthur.
Okay, I'll call for the vote. Director Zindel?
Yes.
Director Shore?
Here.
Director Perez Gill?
Here.
Director Rogers?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Sorry, I had dogs barking. Here.
Vice President Borja?
Yes.
And Director DeLauro? Yes. Unanimous. Okay, move on to the next item, public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda? You have no more than 3 minutes to speak. If you could identify yourself now. Okay, we are moving on to the next item, number E.
Hi, this is Linda Evans from Desert Care Network.
Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to let you know that Desert Regional Medical Center will be holding blood drives with Livestream. And they're tomorrow and Wednesday, and they'll be in the conference rooms A and B at Sturgio's. For tomorrow, April 14th, the blood drive will be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and on Wednesday will be from noon to 5 p.m. And a live stream will be practicing social distancing. They have extra cautionary measures given the virus outbreak. And unfortunately, their new protocols indicate that they were not able to take donations from healthcare workers who have directly cared for confirmed or presumed COVID-19 patients in the previous 28 days. So we anticipate, based on the number of patients we've seen, our donation level with our workforce may be low. So we want to encourage as many people from the public that can donate to please donate. We actually are having blood drives at all three hospitals in the month of April to help the shortage. But these would be the Desert Regional ones that will be happening in Sturgio. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Is there any other member of the public that would like to make a comment on an item not listed on the agenda? Okay. We will move on to the item E, Federally Qualified Health Centers Grant Request for Core Operating Support in Response to COVID-19. I will turn it over to our CEO.
Can you hear me, Libby?
Yes.
Great. Well, this item is related to the approval at the March 24 board meeting, which was a regular meeting, related to various recommendations that was presented to you, or were presented to you by the CEO. Of the those recommendations, one of them was to approve an allocation of $600,000 or $550,000 to the federally qualified health centers currently addressing COVID-19 outbreak. And specifically, we talked about Borrego Health, Desert AIDS Project, and Clínicas de Salud del Pueblo. Today, what we're bringing back to you is a grant application that they were, that they submitted to us, and that the staff is recommending that the board allocate the $150,000 to each one of those agencies. So there are three grants there, grant number 1081, 1083, and 1084, respectively, to Clínicas de Salud del Pueblo, Desert AIDS Project, and Borrego Health Foundation. And I want to remind you that the allocation was already approved at the March 24th board meeting. So you have the three contracts there. Questions about it, we're here to answer. The staff is here. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I will start with the public first to have a public comment, and then I will come back to the board members to get your comments and questions. So is there any member of the public that would like to address this item on the agenda? If you could identify yourself, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Thank you. Or comments or questions.
The public should dial star 6 to unmute their phone line.
Star 6 if you would like to unmute, if you want to make public comments, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is, my name is Karina Velasquez, and I am the COO for Riverside County with Borrego Health. And I just wanted to share with the board, if I may. We have currently gone through, as many, many of the healthcare organizations, a bunch of change day after day, hour by hour, really. We're working really hard to not close any of our locations to date. The only services we have suspended are our mobile units, outreach, and several of our specialty. One in particular that's had a major impact is our dental program. We've had to close that about 90% of the operation there and are restricted to only emergency services. Our staff have been in partnership with RUHS to do several of the screenings that took place over at the Southwest Church. We've been in conversations with Martha's Village and Kitchen, where we have a small clinic there operating 3 days a week to really start setting up for screening of the agricultural and migrant community. We're doing everything we can to continue to support our staff, but due to the hit to our primary care program, we have had to look at furloughs. We recently went through our first round of layoffs in the organization. And again, our first priority is the patients in the community and, of course, protecting our staff. We're having challenges, as many are, with PPE and just providing the resources needed. But we're here, we're committed, and we just want to say thank you all for the opportunity to be able to continue to serve and the support that we've gotten and continue to receive from the Desert Healthcare District. We appreciate it. And if there are any questions regarding our services or what's going on, I'm happy to answer those at this time as well.
Okay. Is there any board member that has any questions at this time of the speaker?
Yes, this is Karen. Can you please share with us what COVID-related programs you have at the Oasis Clinic?
At our Oasis Clinic right now, we're doing all of the screenings. We immediately launched, it's been about 2 weeks now, as quickly as we could,
a nurse and emergency screening hotline that's available for all of our sites, and it is in Spanish, English, and Arabic if we have a Chaldean community in San Diego. So OASIS currently is doing primary care visits. They do have x-ray, again, limited hours, but for COVID-related, it's screening and the testing. As you all may be aware, we're limited in the number of test kits that we get from each of our labs. LabCorp specifically, we're only getting 10 per clinic. And so we're coordinating between our sister sites to get those over. So right now with OASIS and Coachella, our medical director has been in conversations with their team since last week so that we can start centralizing a drive-through screening service in that eastern Coachella Valley. We're hoping to launch that this week.
Thank you so much. That. Thank you. Gracias.
Are there any other board members that will have a question at this time for this speaker? I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Director.
Okay, first we'll start with Director Zent.
Okay, thank you. First of all, my question, I support the proposal, but I have a question that maybe you can answer. Are you anticipating at some point that you will be getting, as a federally qualified health plan, some federal funds to help support your operations because of you're not being able to bill for Medi-Cal and things like that? I'm just curious.
Yes, we do have a team, our CEO in particular, is actively working on how we can make sure that we stay in tune with those opportunities that are coming through and how we're able to be a part of that. I specifically am not part of that team, so I don't have the newest information, but I do know that there are several of these COVID grants coming through, either through federal and other instances, and she's actively working on that with our public affairs department. So, yes, we're hoping to be able to continue to be part of those, but also receive funds so that we can be able to backfill the revenue that has already been lost and ideally make up for being able to continue our program once we all get past this.
Thank you.
Who was the other board member that had a comment at the same time? Is there any other board member that has a question of this speaker at this time before I invite the next speaker?
Director Matthews?
Oh, yes. Go ahead, please.
In the grant proposal, I think the estimate was 110 cases you'd had. I wondered if there was an update on that number since the writing of our agenda.
Are you speaking to the rapid test kits? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I patients that tested positive with
Yes. In our region, I don't have the latest numbers. I know, Gary, I think you're also on the line.
Hi, this is Gary Ronald.
Evans, I might be able to help out. For Riverside County, there's, as of this morning, 32 cases that are positive as of today with 127 pending. Total hospitalized are 359. I guess if you look at our area specifically, we started our day here in the Coachella Valley, let's see, with Desert had 11 pending and 11 positive. Eisenhower had 17 positive, 23 pending, and JFK had 10 positive and 2 pending.
Thank you. That's,
does that help?
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Is there any other board member who has a question of this speaker? Okay. I invite the next speaker. Do we have any other public comment on this item?
Yes, are you able to hear me?
Yes, please introduce yourself.
Yes. This is Bill Van Hemert with Desert AIDS Project, Director of Grants. Just wanted to say that we appreciate the opportunity to be involved in this collaborative effort. DAP is also experienced, as Brago stated, the various FQHC downfalls, shortages, that have occurred because of dental clinic, our primary care. But we are in establishment of, as you know, we started in March 16th, the new triage clinic because of the expansion, and was able to take one of our existing health centers and make it into a total triage COVID-19 clinic. We, as some of the board members inquired, yes, we are doing a outreach to some foundations for additional support. You'll see in our presentation that we had some foundations for the COVID-19 triage clinic. We also are doing a campaign, and we have received our initial CARE Act FQHC Health Center awards. If there's any questions, I'll be able to field those at this time.
Is there any board member who has a question at this time of this speaker? Okay, we'll move on to the next speaker. Is there another person that would like to address this agenda item? In order to unmute, you have to hit asterisk 6. Okay, I will then ask each board member if you have any questions or comments, starting with Director Shore.
Yes, I have a question about grant number 1081, item number 1 under E. If you turn to page 20, it appears that there are no other support agencies for this program. Does that suggest we are supporting it in toto, or is this page yet to be completed? Number one. And number two, in the language of the grant, it talks about, as it relates to this concept, it talks about that we may request information about that, yet each one of the programs, the other two programs, actually submitted it. Do we have a need to refine our language so that we solicit supporting agencies as a condition of the grant, not as an option that we may or may not exercise? They're really the same question, said one in specific to the absence of any support for item number one, and two, whether or not it's a nomenclature issue that needs to be refined on our part.
Arthur, this is Donna. Conrado asked me to respond.
Okay.
Because this was emergency funding, and there was a time crunch. Yes, Clinicus did not fill out that particular page, but that's not to say that they don't have other sources coming in, which they probably most likely will be soliciting to help with the setup and training for the telehealth and the licenses. Their revenue, I'm sure, has gone down as well from the FQHC. And in normal grants, we do ask when they're scored and reviewed, they are reviewed on whether or not they are coming to the district and asking for the full percentage of funding or they have other partners. In this case, I think it's a little bit different because it was emergency funding.
Okay, but and I understand that. Thank you. But the way the language is written, it says we may request it, and you sound like you're agreeing with my suggestion that we do request it. Take a look at the language in the contract.
What page are you referring to, please?
Well, I don't have that in front. It's probably somewhere after 20, because the question came up to 20. It's probably in here it is. Let's see. I'm looking for the actual language. It's in the boilerplate of the contract, is what I'm saying. Other funding sourced. Number five. Number five on page 8. It says, if requested by district, recipient shall make available information. Why is this conditional on our request? Because you sound, and I agree with you, that we do this as a matter of course.
Well, they do, grantees will fill in that pages, and then it just says if by request, we'd just like some more information of what exactly are they funding.
Okay, so you don't think you don't see any problems with the way the language is written. That's fine, as long as it's comfortable and makes sense to everybody. Thank you. No further questions.
Okay, Director Perez-Gill.
I don't have any questions at this time.
Director Rogers. Director Rogers, do you have any questions? Director Matthews?
No, thank you. I've already asked.
Director Zendo?
I have a comment. Can I make that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I want to remind everybody that what the board passed a couple weeks ago was not necessarily to provide money for the federally qualified health clinics specifically for COVID-19 activities. We wanted to provide money for their, core operations because they are no longer able to receive the revenues that they were receiving before for their core operations. So I don't think, although a couple of them go into detail to say how they're going to use this money for COVID-19, I don't think that's specifically what the board passed. I do support this. I think all three organizations have been affected. Their income, their revenue has been affected. Hopefully some of that can be made up by the federal government, but who knows how long that would take. And meanwhile, since these are the three federally qualified health clinics, I support us doing $150,000 to support their core efforts.
Okay, very good. Vice President Borja?
I have a question of clinicas. I did hear them on the call, so I'm just wondering if they could tell me what COVID-related programs they have at the Mecca Clinic.
Is there anyone on the phone that is representing clinicas? If not, then I'll ask our CEO to if he has any thoughts. Conrado, do you have any information to share or not?
So the information that I have is the same that probably all the people saw in the news, that they have to shut down one of their sites because of fear of contamination. They had three of their staff that tested positive for COVID-19 after seeing some cases there. So my understanding is that they're going to remain closed for about a week as they decontaminate the clinic.
That's not at the Mex clinic, though. That's in
Calexico.
Yeah, that was in Calexico. Hello, this is Claudia Galvez. Board Member Borjas. So the activities that we have is what we have in all the clinics, and that's the testing that we're doing. For those that are symptomatic, we have some testing that we do, and if they answered yes to all of the questions that we have, then we refer them to the county to get tested for the COVID-19. And that's what we're doing in all our clinics. And the Calexico Clinic was in a special case that three of our staff members were exposed to the virus. And so, therefore, we follow all the guidelines, CDC guidelines, and we also working with the public health and in Imperial County. And so we decided to close the clinic and do a thorough cleaning of the facility. And we're scheduled to open on April 18th.
Thank you, Claudia.
My only other comment is for the Desert Ace Project. I know in the report they shared with us that they are no longer providing direct outreach to the Valley's homeless population, but I appreciate that they continue to work with Well in the Desert and the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission with their hygiene kits that include, like, the COVID hotline. I think that's still very, very important. There's been more articles this week or this over the weekend around the potential crisis as it surrounds people people who are experiencing homelessness and the coronavirus. So just, I appreciate that they let us know that little bit of information. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Rogers, do you have any questions or comments of our CEO or anything related to this item?
No, thank you. I do not.
Okay. Very good. Then I think we will take each one of these individually, unless someone wants to make a motion to do all three. Is that allowed, Conrado, if we do all three at the same time?
So I believe it should be individual because each one has a specific contract.
Okay, very good. Is there a motion to approve?
I so move. This is Carol.
I move. To approve.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Carol and a second by Director Zendel. Okay, I will then call the roll call. Director Zendel?
Yes.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gill?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Borja?
Yes.
And I vote yes. It's unanimous. And I do want to mention, though, that I do sit on the board of the Clínica de Salud del Pueblo, but according to our attorney, there is no conflict, so I am voting yes. Okay, so the next item is 21-36. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'd move approval of 21-36.
Okay, Director Matthews?
Grant number, grant 1083, sorry.
Is there a second?
Second.
Director Shore seconded. Okay, I'm going to call for the vote. Director Zendel?
Yes.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gill?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Borja?
Yes.
And I vote yes. It's unanimous. The next one is grant number 3754 for Borrego Health. Is there a motion on the floor?
Director Matthews.
Votes yes, and a second.
I second.
Who was that?
You bet.
Okay. Director Perez-Gill seconds the motion to approve the funding. I'll call for the vote. Director Zendel?
Yes.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gill?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Borja?
Yes.
And I vote yes. It's unanimous. Moving on to the next item, number F, immediate issues and comments addressing personal protective equipment in the Coachella Valley. I'll turn it over to our CEO.
Thank you, Leti. The item before you is, and there is no staff report, I apologize for that. The challenge that we have with this item is, and and it was requested by a few board members that we had a conversation about this item, that many of our frontline health workers have been approaching the district through different channels, requesting assistance in finding personal protective equipment. We know that this is a very challenging topic. We have had several conversations with many of our partner organizations, including the Federally Qualified Health Centers and the hospitals and the homeless shelters. They're all facing the challenge that personal protective equipment has been depleted from the traditional sources. Nonetheless, we continue to be requested to provide some of those to the frontline workers. So our board members requested that we have a conversation about this topic and find a way in which, if we identify a reliable source of some personal protective equipment, that we at the district have the discretion and the funds available to buy some of this. And it might be the protective gowns or the disposable gowns, the face shield, some masks, although the mask issue is a complicated one because there are many counterfeits in the market. I think the disposable gowns and the face shields are more easily identified whether they can be of use or not, and it's not as risky as finding the N95 and the KN95. As recent as this morning, I had a conversation with Desert Regional Medical Center, which explained to me that they're moving into using reusable protective gowns. Although they don't have as many as they need, they're using those as it has been something allowed by the federal government, that hospitals use reusable gowns. So this is a fluid and challenging conversation about where we can find some of these items, but they do become available from time to time. So if we have the flexibility to buy and donate and give away those protective equipment to the frontline workers, I think it will serve well the district and our frontline workers to have some availability of those items for them to feel more protected at their workplace.
Conrado, I have a question.
Okay.
This is Arthur.
Hold on, please. Okay. Is that your full report, Conrado? Can I turn it over to the board for questions, or did you have another speaker to speak?
Yes, Letty.
You are done. Okay. Okay, then I will start with Director Shore.
All right. Now, Conrado, who are these frontline workers? Are they at the hospital? Are they at other clinics? Who are these people?
So primarily doctors and nurses, and, yes, at the hospital, and I'm speaking for the three hospitals. It's not only our Desert Regional. It's also JFK Memorial. It's also Eisenhower Medical Center, the three federally qualified health centers, but also some workers at homeless shelters, some police and firefighters. They're all using, from time to time, they're needing especially the face shield to protect themselves from the splatter of saliva on their faces.
I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Director Perezio, I'm sorry, Director Short, did you have more questions?
I'll reserve my comments for later. Thank you.
No, please, I invite you to share now.
Well, I have a concern about getting involved in this simply because one of the issues, at least one that you see in the public news, is that these states are competing with each other. Would we be adding to the equation by throwing our hat in the ring as a buyer, or should we find a way to take the same money we would use to buy, and I'm perfectly willing to allocate funds specifically earmarked for the purchase of protective equipment, and invite the agencies at which these employees work or these individuals work to do it so we don't exacerbate the bidding war and drive up the price?
So I believe that we're not competing with them because they're using other channels that is not the same channels that we will be using.
What channels would we be using?
So we can use some retail stores that have similar items.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I didn't appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, I forgot to ask for public comments. I'm sorry, I'll do that now. Is there any member of the public that would like to make a comment on this item now?
This is Linda from Desert Care Network.
Thank you, Linda. Proceed.
Thank you. Yes, I know that I was sitting in on the call with Conrado and the CEO, Michelle Finney, and our supply chain director, James Phillips, this morning. And I think that the challenge has been that the hospitals in the Valley continue to abide by the CDC guidelines, and as they've moved towards the anticipated peak or surge in the onslaught of patients into hospitals and ICUs, there's been conservation protocols that have been issued by the CDC, which we are all following. So while there could be the perception of a lock-and-key mechanism, the reality is that is true on certain items because they were walking out of the hospital. So we want to make sure our frontline staff have what they need, and we do have the benefit of being part of a larger organization that does have a regular supply companies that work with us nationwide. We have not experienced a deficit or depletion in anything. There are some things that are a little bit more concerning at times based on census than others. It was N95s. We now feel very comfortable with the amount of N95s that we have. Now it's more isolation gowns, and as Conrado had mentioned, we have gone towards or moving towards a transition for a washable, reusable isolation gown. In the meantime, we are providing other types of covers to extend the life without compromising the integrity of the blue gowns. But there are, unfortunately, lots of people that are opportunistic out there, and we get multiple emails and phone calls daily for connections to China and other places that have customs clearance to almost sort of sell these black market type of items. And the challenge is while we've received a few of those, not by purchasing but through a donation, they're not the quality of masks that we would use in that isolation and COVID setting. Maybe as a last resort, it might be okay to double that with something else. So when you look at the average person or entity that isn't part to purchase additional PPE from just any resource that's out there, as Director Shore had mentioned, and he's run hospitals, he knows that you have to be very careful not to be in a bidding war, because where something might cost a hospital 25 cents, they're selling them on the market right now for $10. That's just not practical and a good use of the district's money, in my opinion. But we are not in desperate need of anything at this point based on the capacity and the census. I know that we're stocking up to prepare for what we think is going to happen based on the modeling, because we want to be prepared. We greatly appreciate the district's willingness to support the hospitals. I know that the FQs are in a different situation than we are. I think that they have a tougher time getting what they need, and perhaps anything we can do to help them would be helpful. The county's been very responsive, as has the state. So we appreciate, again, your willingness to help get the facilities and the resources we need. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other member of the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? If you would like to speak, you have to hit *6 to unmute your phone. Okay, hearing no other comments, I'll turn it back to the board members, and I will follow up with asking Director Perez-Gil if you have any questions at this time or comments.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Director Rogers?
Yes, this is Carol. I just sent Conrado a link to the Eden Healthcare District in the Bay Area, where they just voted to purchase $500,000 worth of PPE equipment that the CEO there had found and disseminate it to the community, to community clinics and et cetera. So I think that there's a real opportunity to maybe follow up and find out where and how much they found. I understand that he found a USA supplier for that.
Very good. Director Matthews, do you have any comments or questions at this time?
Yeah, I'm listening to our discussion or whatever, and I'm sort of not sure that this is the problem we have yet. I also know that 2 weeks from now when we have a board meeting, we might have a problem, and I think just like this meeting, if we need to deal with this, we call a special meeting and go, we're in trouble, we need them. But I think we just become additional bidders and then soon distributors of equipment or PPE that which I don't think is really our strong suit. We should be going through the hospitals and the clinics. If they need money, we can give it to them. But it sounds like both nationally more is being made quickly. Whole businesses have changed their models to do face masks and gowns and whatever. And by the time we get to the solution, the problem may be resolved. So I'm more likely to either table or wait, but, you know, I can be convinced by the rest of the board without a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Zendel. Director Zendel.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, sorry. Although there is a problem now getting PPEs, the problem isn't money. It's not a matter of not having money to buy them. It's because they're in short supply and the supply is not meeting the demand, although they are gearing up to do that. I agree with what a couple of people have said, that if we enter the market, then we are competing against the hospitals and the state and the county and the feds that are trying to buy this, and I don't think that helps. I also question whether the Desert Healthcare District would have any better luck finding these. I do know that about a week ago, SEIU made a big deal about how they were spending a lot of money on masks, N95 masks, and it turned out it was all a fraud kind of thing. And then finally, I don't think that our CEO and our staff are really in the business of procurement. Procurement of medical supplies is a specialty, as I'm sure Arthur can tell you, having been in the hospital administration business. And I don't think we have a special expertise in that. I do think that if it turned out that one of the groups that we support, the hospitals or the clinics, or homeless shelters said, you know what, we need this and we can get some, but we can't afford it, then that's something that we could consider. In fact, I believe some of the grants we've already given have been supporting them in purchasing PEEs. So I don't support us moving forward with this at the present time.
Okay. Thank you. Vice President Borja?
Hi, everybody. So reading through the three grants we received today for the FQHCs, listening to what Linda had to say, I do understand that there are particular entities throughout the Coachella Valley in the healthcare field that have
whether it's monetary access or just supplier access to PPE. And then I also understand what Conrado is saying, right, that there's others outside of those fields, just regular non-healthcare related businesses, nonprofits that do not and don't have access to buying and getting those things just because of who they are. I don't think that we need to relinquish $500,000, but I'd be curious in having a conversation with you all of what it might mean to give Conrado a $25,000-$30,000, I don't know what we would allotment of funds in case he does find a supplier that is not through the regular, like, hospital FQHC supply chain, to support others who are not in those particular fields. That's my only thought right now. I definitely hear both sides of what our board members are sharing, and then reading through what our grantees asked for today, and then understanding, right, that there are many people in our valley who are either working in conditions that require PPE and then not having access to them, and then understanding, right, that we have some funds that we can probably set aside, not a $500,000, like I said, but a couple thousand dollars. I'm wondering what it might look like if we consider an option of some low funds in case Conrado and other staff members just happen to find a supplier that can support other people that are outside of the healthcare realm but are still helping take care of our community through this time.
Okay. Very good. Would you like to make a motion at this time?
Sure. I would motion that we set aside $30,000 for Conrado for staff to negotiate the procurement of PPE equipment.
Is there a second?
A second.
Who is that?
Yvette.
Okay, Director Perez Gil seconds it. Okay, then I'll go ahead and call for the vote.
Can I make another comment, please?
You may. Director Zendo?
Bless. Yeah. I just want to reemphasize a point I made, and that's that it's not like our staff are sitting around and looking for things to do. They're very busy in the projects we've already given them, not to mention the fact that they're starting the budgeting process. And I don't think that our CEO and staff should be in the procurement business. They're not particularly trained at it, and I don't think they have the extra time. And so I don't support this.
Okay. Is there any other comments or questions from any other board member at this time on before I call for the vote? Okay, very good. Okay, starting with Director Zendo.
No.
Director Shore?
No.
Director Perez Gil?
Yes.
Director Rogers? Director Rogers? Director Matthews?
No.
Director Rogers? Vice President Borja?
Yes.
Director Rogers? Okay, I will vote yes, and that's only if there's, just to give the allocation to the CEO, to, if there's an opportunity for purchase too good of a deal to pass up, then I think we need to give him some flexibility to make that, that action. So, Director Rogers, would you come back and join us? Right now we have three Yes, yes. It's Director Perez Gil. And myself, and we have three no's, Director Zendel, Director Shore, and Director Matthews. So we're tied.
I'm sorry. I'm here. I vote yes.
Okay, so that passes, giving our CEO the discretion of $30,000. Should there be an opportunity to purchase this, become available.
Can I ask a point of information, please?
Yes. Director Zendel?
Are we directing our CEO to actively spend his time and staff's time looking for this, or are we just saying if he should happen to come across this, he's authorized to spend the money? I think that needs to be clarified, because our job is to direct the staff.
The maker of the motion, can you clarify what your motion is?
Yeah, if he comes across a supplier that has PPE equipment, he should purchase.
Okay, and the second, Director Perez Gil, are you okay with that clarification?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Excuse me, President DeLarge, this is Andrea. Yes. Concerning the motion, I just want to be sure as well, because Vice President Borja mentioned FQHCs as well that could use this PPE equipment. So I just want to make sure, is the board or is the motion actually telling the CEO where to place these monies?
Okay.
No, I did not. Sorry, my motion is not to place these PPE equipment in particular places.
Thank you.
Someone wants to make that motion. Go ahead, but that was not my motion.
No.
Again,
okay.
Dr. Zendel, I need some clarification. Are we direct? I understand what the motion is. But are we directing the CEO to go look for this material? Because I think that is something that if we're going to do it, and it's part of his job now because we've directed him to do it, and we're going to hold him accountable to doing it, spending time, we need to be clear on that.
Okay. The clarification and what I voted on was that if there was an opportunity for him to purchase the items, that he would have the discretion to act on it, but not to be actively looking for it, to invest a certain time in this, that I'm sure he would have to make the determination is probably not a good use of time if there's other things that are pressing him. And I will leave that at his discretion to follow the motion, is to not be actively seeking, but to, if there's an opportunity that he feels is too good to pass up, then for him to have the authority and discretion to act on it.
That's much clearer. Thank you so much.
Very good. Any other questions or comments from any other board members? Okay, very good. There's being no other comments. Is there any other closing comments before I call for adjournment?
This is Les again. I would just encourage us to get the Zoom set up so that we can have a better connection, see at least our faces. Public doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to have their faces on it. They can listen to it and speak without having their the video on. I think it's important for us to look at each other if we possibly can, and I promise not to roll my eyes very much.
Okay, very good. I think that is the plan that the staff is working on, and hopefully we can make it happen for our next meeting, whether it's a special meeting or the board meeting, but hopefully at the next meeting we can have that technology to assist us. Okay, so it is 4:04. I'm calling for the adjournment at 4:04. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the work.
Bye-bye.